Thank you, Charlie. That's a beautiful text of that hymn, Jesus, I Come to Thee. And as I read our scriptures for us this morning for our message, I want us just to begin with that idea. I'm going to build on that because the Lord put those two things together. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me. I'm going to speak this morning on what I call the 2-2-2 principle that comes from 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 2. But your responsibility to share the knowledge of God with others. But I first want to begin with verse 1 because it's very, very important. I'm going to read 1 and 2 and then we'll dive in together. Paul says to his young protege Timothy this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Father, I pray for each person that's here this morning that in receiving your grace, Lord Jesus Christ, they would then take up the ability and the responsibility to share the knowledge of God with others, right where they are and in every different sphere. And I pray that your word would have an effect on some hearts here this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Paul begins by telling Timothy, "You then," and he uses this affectionate term, "my child" or "my son." Timothy, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so, by the time of this message, or sometimes by this point in the missions conference, some other churches have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I sort of say, at this point, by Sunday morning, enough about me already, it's time to talk about you. That's why I wanted to give that little presentation first, to get that out of the way. But I want to talk about you during this time, because there's a challenge that God has for you in His Word in this whole missions game as well, right? Your responsibility to share the knowledge of God with others. But it begins first by receiving the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell a wonderful recollection I have of Nana Miriam Reed that, of course, all of you know. She called me up one day on the phone, and she knew that I loved evangelism, and I was a church planner at the time, and she said, "Doug, I'm going to be speaking to a women's group about evangelism. What should I, give me some good stuff. What should I tell them?" And the only first thing that came to my mind, and this is what I shared with her, and as far as I know, this is what she shared with them, was this. I just said, "Nina, if people are not in love with Jesus, they won't want to share him with others." Simple. If you're in love with Christ, you yourself will actually find a million different ways to share them with others. The training is just sort of the technical part of that. You'll actually just be motivated to go out and get it yourself, whether it's online or through some great book you read or through a friend who takes you out and shares with you what they're doing. You'll actually seek it out yourself if, and this is a big if, you are in love with Christ. And you might say, "Well, that's bold to say in church, if." I mean, don't we all love Jesus? Maybe, I don't know. Jesus said to all the churches in Revelation, the first chapters, to some of them anyway, he said, "You've lost your first love." So that is an if. But if you love the Lord Jesus, if you come to him first daily and you're receiving his grace moment by moment, you're being renewed in your faith, in other words, and you do have an abiding love for Christ and for His Word, it is something you'll want to do. You'll want to share the knowledge of God with others. And it happens in many different ways, and I'm going to go through all those different ways. The sermon is basically all application. But here's the principle first, and it begins with grace. It begins with Paul saying, "You then be strengthened in the grace through Jesus Christ." And, you know, it's been a hard year, 2020, for many of you. Some of you have gotten COVID. Some of you have known others who got COVID or had some loved ones who died from COVID. You've had maybe business issues, financial issues. relationship struggles, family dynamics that have changed or been strange or awkward. You've had many different things. Maybe you even had a bad morning before you came here. Maybe things have gone uphill and things have been great. But no matter where you're coming from this morning, you first need that. You won't hear anything else I say unless you get that grace from the Lord Jesus this morning, that your sins are forgiven you. Like Jesus said to that paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven you." That's the first thing that you need to hear this morning. "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven you, and I love you." And you need to receive that love and that grace, that favor, that smile from Him first this morning. And when you receive that for yourself, when you realize, you know, whether you realize or not when you woke up this morning, that Jesus loves you right where you're at, it's then and only then that you get excited about missions, whether it's, you know, these guys' missions or the CCLC or Africa or your own missions that you should be doing, whether you're doing or not. It's only then, after receiving that grace and that love from Christ, that you'll get interested in missions. Now, passing on to the 222 principle, building on that foundation, you have a responsibility to share the knowledge of God with others. And I want you to see four generations of knowledge here, right? Paul says to Timothy, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses," Paul to Timothy. Now he's telling Timothy, "entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." You see four generations there of that knowledge. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men to others. And so there's sort of a chain of the knowledge of God being passed along. And if we don't pass that knowledge along to our children and others who are around you and your neighbor, then the knowledge of God will be lost. Is it being lost in America? I don't know. You tell me. Will missionaries need to come from Africa and re-evangelize America in 50 years? I don't know. You tell me. We'll see what happens. But if we continue to be missionaries right where we are and evangelize and share the knowledge of God, then, Lord willing, they won't have to. They will still be a Christian area by God's grace. Now, there's a story that sometimes circulates about me around this place about how I got lost in the swamps one night when we were out having four-wheeler fun at Mr. Harry's house, and the youth group was out there, and I'll never live that one down. But I'm actually going to self-confess another story that I probably won't live down either that happened to me this last week, which was an experience I had on Friday of starting a forest fire. And you know how forest fires begin, right? Of course, you know, I had three burn piles in my backyard, and I lit those three piles. You know, that was great. Everything was going fine. And in fact, it was going so well that I decided to light another three piles that were over on this side of the property. And there's sort of about a 9-acre area back there. And so I lit another three piles. And, you know, those were going so well that I thought to myself, just got to ride on the success and light another three piles. And it was when I got to 9 piles that the problems began, because it was one of those eighth or ninth piles that caught some dry grass, and after about 3 acres was on fire, I decided it was time to call the fire department, which they did, and, you know, by God's grace, tax dollars hard at work, came out and helped me with that problem. But actually, you know, and preachers turn everything into an analogy, right? But it struck me, just that little, you know, pieces of cardboard that I was putting into those wood piles, just little piece of cardboard down at the bottom of that dry wood, light it with my little lighter. That's all I had to do. And then it took from there, and it became something much larger. And I began to think about that as the knowledge of God, that you, when you just choose to share one thing, one small thing with someone, whether that's your grandson or your daughter or your neighbor, whoever, and you share a piece, just a piece of the knowledge of God with someone, it actually has the potential, that knowledge has the potential, that little flame to become a bonfire, maybe even a forest fire, right? It just happens so quickly at times. Sometimes the Spirit of God acts like the wind, and it fans into a, into a forest fire. But just starting with that little flame of the knowledge of God that you share with someone else can have that tremendous effect, tremendous effect. There was an old preacher in North Carolina who was very evangelistic in zeal, and he would go out on the streets on Saturdays and he would just evangelize on the street corner, what we would kind of regard as a very fruitless ministry, right? We would sort of look down on such things these days mostly. But he faithfully did that every Saturday. And it was said that he did not get many converts, that it seemed as though it was sort of fruitless mostly. But one Saturday, he couldn't boast of many converts, even after years of doing that. But one thing that did happen, though, was he led a teenager to Christ. You know, someone say, okay, well, great, you know. One teenage boy to Christ, right? And that teenage boy's name turned out to be Billy Graham. So it is interesting what has been said here, right? Even what was being said in the Clarendon Christian Learning Center context. When you just choose to share the knowledge of God with someone, it can have that tremendous impact, like the boy in Africa that was mentioned during Sunday school. One piece of knowledge passed along that's like a flame. It has the potential. Maybe it just is snuffed out. Maybe the devil snatches that seed, or nothing happens with it. That's sort of up to God. But when you choose to share the word of God with someone, when you take up your responsibility to share the knowledge of God with someone else, God has the potential to turn that into a forest fire, okay? But you do have that responsibility. And sometimes people come to me as a preacher and say, well, maybe you're even thinking this morning, tell me how to do that. Give me all the techniques. Give me all the ways and the strategies to do it. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to turn it around on you. And I'm going to talk about your responsibility. And I'm going to tell you, you figure it out. I actually can't tell you all the ways that you need to share the knowledge of God with someone else. I actually don't know what the best way to evangelize your granddaughter is. You might not either, but you're probably closer to it than I am. So it is your responsibility. It is actually something that God wants you to figure it out. You know, figure it out. Take that passion, if you have it, to share the knowledge of God. And then God will give you the means for that. He will give you the effective ways that you can begin to work that out in your own life. But you do have a responsibility to share the knowledge of God with others. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy as well. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. This was public. It was intentional. It was discipleship. It was the word of God. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also to continue that cycle of the knowledge of God. Now, I just want to speak to you about the categories of people that need the knowledge of God. First and foremost, our children and our youth. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you have a responsibility to share the knowledge of God with your children and with your grandchildren. I shared this in a church 2 weekends ago, and a man came up to me afterwards. He was probably about 60, and he had an adult son, and a young adult son, and he said to me, you know, this message from God and from God's word has inspired me. I haven't spoke to my son about the things of God in years, even though he was raised in a Christian home, and he's sort of on the fence. I need to go, and I need to speak to him about God. And I need to continue to share with him as his father the knowledge of the word of God. Good. That was an application. That's what he worked out. He was figuring it out. That's what you need to do as well in regards to your children. If you're a parent, then you're a teacher. You're a teacher of the word of God. Hopefully. Hopefully you do take intentional time and effort to disciple your children. I'm going to give you that challenge to disciple your children. Not just taking them to church, not just praying before meals, but I want you to do something where you intentionally instruct as a parent in the Word of God, that you share the knowledge of God. Maybe it's while you're folding laundry with your daughter. Maybe it's while you're fishing with your son or hunting with your kids or your grandkids. And you can sit in that deer stand and share the knowledge of God, or in that bass boat and you can share the knowledge of God. I'm all for using all kinds of means and strategies and techniques, whatever, you can work that out. You can figure it out. But if you're in love with Christ because you first received His love for yourself, then you will figure it out. You will take up that responsibility to share the knowledge of God with your children and with your grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren, that you pass down the knowledge of God. If you're not reaching your teenagers and the youth, who is reaching them, right? They need the knowledge of the Word of God. Second group, women. Make sure there are amazing women's ministries. Women crave good theological teaching, and they will go where it's to be found. If you're not offering it as a church, if there is not instruction and knowledge available and ministry available to and with women, they'll go elsewhere to get it, basically. So make sure as a church that you have amazing ways to communicate, to discuss, to share, and to enact good theology and good teaching, good biblical teaching among women. They need that. They crave it. They want it. And if you don't provide it, they will go elsewhere to get it. And, you know, it might be online or it might be through other, you know, famous teachers or something like that. But often there's a craving for that because there's a lack of it locally. And so that needs to be in place in any church to have amazing women's ministries where the knowledge of the Word of God is being shared. If you're a husband, you know, to your wife, there's a ministry also. There's a very substantial ministry that you both have to each other, but specifically husband to wife as well. Make sure you pray together, that you share the Word of God and the knowledge of God together as a husband and wife as well. That's very, very important. I had a pastor where I used to pastor out in Utah. He was an older pastor. And he told me, you know, I've never given marital counseling to a couple that prays together. Just incidentally. It's never happened once. Never gave marital counseling to someone, a couple who prayed together. It might be out there, he just hadn't experienced it. In other words, it's rare. It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Children need the knowledge of the Word of God in youth. Women need the knowledge of the Word of God. Leaders in the church need the knowledge of the Word of God. You can't give what you don't have, right? While I was doing eldership and deacon training in our church plant in Utah, that was the foundation that we had to build on, was you can't teach Sunday school if you don't know the Bible, you know? You can't give an introduction to Reformed theology if you don't know Reformed theology. You know, you can't make good biblical decisions in the church council if you don't actually know the Word of God. So leaders need to be continually growing in the knowledge of the Word of God themselves. And of course, that sort of leadership pipeline as well for those who are coming up into leadership, that they're learning, that they're teaching, that they're doing ministry, that they're being included. And of course, that continuous pipeline is part of this generational issue, right? You know, I don't know, how much older was Paul than Timothy? I don't know. It might have been 5 years. He might have been 5 years older. He might have been 25 years older. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But it does seem like Timothy was a new generation, right? And yet he's telling Timothy, I'm sending you to all these churches I planted. I want you and Titus to appoint elders and deacons and take up the ministry. And I also want you to appoint faithful men in these places, officers in other words, and others as well, ministry leaders, we might say generally, that will even be able to instruct others as well. So you see that intergenerational passing on of the torch, passing on of the baton? That needs to happen in leadership as well. And even leaders who have been leaders for many, many years need to continuously be renewed in their knowledge. We might call it continuing education, right? Now, they do say the best way to learn something is to teach it. So that's always a benefit if you teach Sunday school or you preach or you step up in a leadership position, right? But you also need to make sure that you're reading the Bible at home, that you're studying the Word of God. Maybe you take a theology course. Maybe you, you know, get an online master's degree in theology. There are actually many options. Maybe it's a leadership retreat that you have once a year as a church where you go into Bible study together. Maybe you open each session meeting with a devotional from the Word of God, where you're actually sharing the Word of God with each other as well. Again, many different ways to do it. Your responsibility. Make sure that you're doing that as leaders in and among your church. Pastors also need the knowledge of the Word of God. In pastoral ministry, it often begins as a sprint that sort of slows to a marathon, right? You can wear yourself out if you're not refreshed in the Word of God. This is me preaching at myself here now, and to maybe others of those who are in full-time ministry. You need to be refreshed in the Word of God. Again, you can't give what you don't have. You won't share the knowledge of God with others effectively if you're not in love with Christ, and you won't have anything to give unless you have fresh insights from the Word of God, right? So that's why we have to go back to the source. In the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, one of the favorite sayings that they used in Latin was ad fontes, which means back to the sources, back to the sources. And they were talking about the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. They were talking about the Bible, the Word of God. Back to the source. That's why Gutenberg printing on the printing press, all the Bibles that had been translated by John Wycliffe into English, that was really what spurred the Reformation, is the knowledge of God being shared like wildfire throughout Europe. That's really what caused the Reformation, not just Martin Luther nailing 95 theses onto the Wittenberg church door, right? It was the printing of the Bible and the distribution. Sermons that were now being preached from the Greek New Testament when Zwingli stood up in his pulpit in Zurich, Switzerland, to begin the Reformation in Zurich, Switzerland. What did he do? He began with Matthew 1:1 in his Greek New Testament, and he then preached through the entire New Testament from the Greek New Testament, giving his congregation expositional preaching from the Word of God. They were getting fed. They were getting fired. They were getting caught on fire and then catching other things on fire, like those ill-fated burn piles of mine. They got caught on fire first, and then they caught other things on fire. That's what happened in your life when the Word of God begins to be shared like that. Everyone needs it. Youth, children, women, leaders, elders, deacons, pastors. How about your neighbor? How about your neighbor? I love this verse from Hebrews 8, where it says, it's quoting an Old Testament passage about the age of glory that's to come. And it says, in that day, in heaven and in glory, you will not need to instruct your neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. They shall all know me in that place. But I love the reverse flip side of that coin. In that day, you will not need to instruct your neighbor, saying, know the Lord, because they'll all know me. But guess what? We're not there yet. You're still in this age. So that means you do need to instruct your neighbor, saying, know the Lord. That's what I want you to say to your neighbor. Know the Lord. And sometimes we don't share the knowledge of the Word of God with others because we don't want them to think that we're trying to get them saved, and so you don't, and so they don't. And then they go to hell. And maybe you're in the day of judgment and you're passing into glory and the angels have separated out the sheep from the goats and your neighbor is going the other way and he turns around and looks at you and says, you were my neighbor for 30 years. And you never shared this with me? Instruct your neighbor, saying, know the Lord. Do whatever it takes. I don't care what it is. You figure it out. It's your responsibility. Are you your brother's keeper? You know, are you going to be on Cain's side of that answer to that question? Or on the right side of the answer there? Are you your brother's keeper? Are you responsible to share the knowledge of the Word of God with your neighbor? Maybe it's a simple invite to church. Maybe it's a tract. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's just a, hey, I'm praying for you. Maybe it's a, hey, I read this in the Word of God this morning. I just wanted to throw it out to you. I know you enjoy that. You're a Christian too. One of the secrets I use when I evangelize people, I'll share this with you, is something that I do, is before they're even converted, I start discipling them. I start discipling them before they're even converted. And if you view it that way, then you view it not just as like a one-shot deal. Well, I shared the gospel with them. That was it. No, start discipling them. Start sharing with them Bible verses. You know, give them some books. Oh, hey, you know, you're a Christian. You will really enjoy this. If someone tells me they're Christian, I just take it at face value and say, oh, that's wonderful. Because you're a Christian, you love God, why don't you come join me for the missions conference this weekend at church? You know, because you're a Christian, you love God, let me share with you my favorite Bible verse. What's your favorite Bible verse? Oh, you'll love this book. Yeah, you know, I know you love God. Great. Take their confession at face value. Start to disciple them. That's a technique I use for evangelism. I'll give you just that one little one. But in general, you know your neighbor better than I do. You know when to push and when to hold back, when to be sensitive and gentle, and when to put the hammer down. You're the one who knows that, and you have a responsibility to share the knowledge of God with your neighbor, especially unconverted neighbors, you know? I showed you a picture of our local Muslim sheikh there, who we bought the land from for that school. And he's actually a pretty nice guy. Every time he gets put in jail, he's sort of the local bad boy. He calls us and wants to sell another little piece of land so he can make bail to get out of jail. And after one such occasion, I was sitting with him, and I shared with him the gospel and gave him my book. And that verse came to mind, instruct your neighbor, saying, know the Lord. I have a little booklet I wrote called Peace with God. I should have brought copies. I didn't this morning, but I gave it to him. And in that book, it just lays out the gospel for a non-believer to read, you know. And he allowed me to pray with him in that moment, to just, you know, as I shared with him. And he was gracious in that way. And we try to have those outreaches to our Muslim neighbors when we're there in Africa. And I try to do the same, like if I move to a new place, a new neighborhood, or someone else moves in, I try just to make it a point to maybe take them something you bake or whatever, you know, or just share with them a book, introduce yourself. Maybe it just begins with loving interaction, right? But to make sure you take that responsibility serious, to be your brother's keeper, to share the knowledge of the Word of God with your neighbors, especially unconverted neighbors. But wrap those things all together. Your responsibility to share the knowledge of the Word of God with others. That's what missionaries are doing when they go overseas, and there's many different ways to do that. But that's what I want you to do also for your children, for your grandchildren, for the youth of this church, for the women of the church, for the leaders of the church. Pastors, we need the same thing. For your neighbors, especially your unconverted neighbors, share the knowledge of the Word of God. And who knows whether you'll convert the next, you know, Billy Graham. Not that it's you that converts them, but the Spirit works through you, right? Who knows? You never know. You might just be an average person sharing the gospel, and the next, you know, world evangelist is converted, or a young boy who then leads an entire African village to Christ. Or you never know what kind of forest fire is going to come out of just those, that little fire, just that little fire of the knowledge of the Word of God. But just one sentence, literally one sentence that you speak can change someone's life. And that's not because of your power, but it's because of the powerful tool of the Word of God and the ability for the Holy Spirit to use that. So I guess the only concluding question is, will you take seriously your responsibility to share the knowledge of the Word of God? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given to us through many faithful mentors, through many faithful teachers, pastors, leaders, parents, grandparents, family members, perhaps neighbors or other believers, the knowledge of God. Others taught us. Others evangelized us. Others shared the Word with us. Now we must take that, Lord, and share the Word also with others. Maybe some here don't consider themselves very good speakers or very good teachers. Lord, you know that doesn't matter. Use them anyway. Use them anyway as they take up that resolve to share the knowledge of God with others. That they would instruct their neighbors, saying, know the Lord. That they would go after their children and the next generation, because if they don't, it will be a generation that doesn't know God in America next. So I pray that we would take that responsibility seriously that you give us. And we know we can only do it if we're in love with you, Lord. And we can only be in love with you if we have first received your love and we have been strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the hearts and the resolve of each person here by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that their sins are forgiven them, that they're going to heaven, that all is well, that they have peace with God. But motivate them, Lord, that great peace that they have found, they would also be able to share with others, Lord, the world over. The beggars who have found bread would tell other beggars where to find that bread, Lord. That one day, people from every tongue, tribe, and nation would be represented there in heaven, worshiping and praising you, Lord, even as we're doing right now this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.